All right, before I call up Pastor Robert, I want to give him a very warm welcome from a special group of people. So if you today are wearing a Pastor Robert shirt, if you just stand up, you don't have to come to the front, but you can if you want. Or maybe just Uncle Bob will be at the front, and everyone else will just give a big hoorah as we welcome Pastor Robert. There are two types of people in the world. People who do not have a shirt and people who do have a shirt.
Wow.
And now, Pastor Robert, you are one of those people.
Thank you so much. I'm honored.
All right. Woo-hoo!
Wow. Amazing. Out of 8 billion people, only two kinds of people in the world. One who has this t-shirt and one who do not. Wow, praise the Lord. Wow. I'm excited actually to share today's message because something that's been brewing in my heart for a very long time, and we are going to preach different set of sermons. Maybe someday we'll preach that, but Pastor Barry actually felt that maybe we need to do this, and I think this will be appropriate, especially, I mean, to see these young generals in the Lord rising up. Wow, right? And their self-image will forever changed. So, wow. Can I start with prayer? Father, we are so thankful for today and the words that you give to us today. Lord, activate within us something that has been dormant. Activate within us something that we yearn for, but really didn't know how to touch, Lord. We want to be touched by you today, and our real self will be activated, Lord, and become who we are. So, Lord, thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All over the world as I travel, you could get by. It doesn't matter which country you're in. You could say, hello, and they understand. It's a greeting, right? But I have some issues with that because English now dominates, which is great. But why do we have to start our first conversation with hell? Why couldn't it be heaven-o or something like that, you know? Why does it have to be hello? You say, well, you know. But of course, we don't think it that way because it's just a conversation. It's just a greeting, right? Hello means, what about this one when we greet one another? How are you? Right? How are you? And I was confronted by actually a professor at Oxford. He said, hey, how come you guys don't say how are you? Like good American. Well, this professor said, well, number one, because you really don't want to know. And I kind of paused like, that's true, you know. Can you imagine, say, how are you? Do you really want to know? And tell his life story, how that person is doing. Like, oh, no, I'm not a counselor. Talk to my wife, you know. And I will stick to hello, you know. I'll start with hell, you know. So how are you really doesn't mean much because it just became a form of greeting for us. So then I'm going to ask you, I'm going to kind of throw a wrench into the whole system of greeting. If someone asks you, or you should ask somebody, how are you? You. No response from this side, okay. So very profound, okay. So you have to say something. Instead of saying, how are you, why don't you next time say, how are you? You. That's it. See, when you ask, what makes you, you? I was the legendary speaker or consultant, Peter Drucker, 1986. I still remember the day, 1986. Said at his lecture at Fuller, he said, you know, a lot of people complicate life. And a lot of CEOs in the world that he met, I mean, he's talking to Coca-Cola CEOs and, you know, IBM CEOs. And he said, they give me tons of money. And I only ask them two questions. He says that first question to all the CEOs in the global, national, you know, $100 billion company CEO, he said, I'm charging arms and legs, and first question I ask them is, what is your business? Wow, right? And they have to sit down and, well, my business is selling sugary water to 240 countries. CEO of Coca-Cola, that's what they do, selling sugary water to 240 countries, right? And then second question, so how is your business? Two questions. What do you do, and how are you doing? Wow, what about us? What about us? See, the text that I read from is from King James Version, Numbers 13:33, and this would be a great verse to meditate on while you're in your mission field. It says, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Think about that. See, my definition of giant is something or someone or some being or some program or some habit that you get defeated every single day. That's the giant. It's not the size. It's something that you confront and you get defeated every single time. Here, we see the Israelites. I mean, my goodness. They are the chosen race. They've just experienced this incredible experience with God, the pillar of fire and pillar of cloud leading, and the Red Sea open, and they saw their enemies just die. Tens of thousands die instantly by the water overtaking. All these miracles, right? Talk about self-image. They should have good self-image. And yet, they came across. And when they come to the next event, next crisis, next problem, they said, man, when I look at those big guys, 6'9", we're like grasshopper. My self-image, I look into myself, I'm just a grasshopper. I'm sure they think it too. Think about that. Who told you that you're a grasshopper? Nobody. Yourself. Nobody convinced you that you're a grasshopper, right? And in today's context, grasshopper, we don't really have grasshopper, you know, familiar with grasshoppers, so maybe more like cockroaches, you know, like we feel like we're like cockroaches to them, probably, right? It's so amazing how, you know, sometimes like I hear people scream, why, what happened? There's a cockroach. I'm like, I think cockroach is more terrified by you because you're a walking mountain to them, you know. The role should be reversed. I mean, cockroach should be, someone with a big foot could stamp on me. I die. But there's us screaming, I see a cockroach. And I feel like a cockroach when I see myself against them. So the whole role reversal and then finding the self, you know, starting from and then as I finished my commentary on Genesis, it was a fantastic journey of finishing my commentary on Genesis. It was 1,250 pages long. Wow, is that crazy? You know how you write a 1,250 pages long commentary? Page at a time. Remember Pastor Barry's message last week? When you turn it into a page a day and committed, okay, I'm going to write 1,250-page book. It only takes page a day. It just requires 1,250 days. But it could be done. So don't ever say that there's no way I will be able to write 1,250 pages. No, as long as you commit to page a day. Okay, maybe some of you said, oh, page a day, I cannot write. Okay, half page. Then you will finish 625-page book someday. Okay, I cannot write. Okay, then quarter of a page a day. Then you finish 300-page book someday. See, it's different perspective, how you're looking at. See, the whole Genesis, I could condensed 1,250-page book into one paragraph. Wow, that's an art, right? And since most people will never buy my commentary anyways, and it's free of charge at academia.edu anyways, but because you will not spend time reading that, let me paraphrase it to a paragraph. What chapter 1 through 50 Genesis talking about? Genesis chapter 1, God creates. Hallelujah. We serve God who creates. So we as a followers must learn to live a life that is creative. Amen, young people? Have a creative mind, you know? You know, I was watching this program that I was kind of shocked that, wait a minute, you know, and they actually did a study on Asian American by Google's. Google company actually did an Asian study on Asian American, mainly Chinese, Japanese, and Korean. And they asked the following question. Why is it in the world? The smartest men and women are gathered at Google headquarters. And one guy said, it's kind of puzzling. If all the races of the 240 countries are here and they're the top 0.001% smart people, how come Chinese, Japanese, Koreans do not make it into the management team? Is that kind of crazy? And of course, they said the unofficial research was like Indians. See, all the Indians in the world are taking CEO, they are CFO, COO, whatever you call it, right? Now they have a CCO, Chief Creative Officer. CCO. Asians are not there. And so they asked the following question, why? Right? And then they found out, because we are from a culture. Why is it just trying to humble me? Because we Asians are from the culture that comes out of the saving face culture. We care about what others people think about us. We don't dare to say something so creative, crazy. It's like, oh, I just want to belong to a team. I don't want to stand out. There are a lot of proverbs in Japanese and Chinese that don't stand up because you'll be hammered on. Don't stand out. Just be part of the group, right? And we Asians are from the culture. Now, this is not me speaking. I'm talking about referring to the study. They said, because the Asian culture predominantly come from an ideological basis of we are all same. The Western culture said we are basically different. And that fundamental understanding of self radically changes people. And we're not talking about Japanese from Japan. We're talking about fourth, fifth generation Japanese, fourth generation Chinese, third, second generation Korean Americans, yet do not break it into the management because, and they will complain, well, because there's a ceiling, right? No. It's how we are not activated of how God created. See, when you can read the Genesis in one paragraph, God created, and so there is a created you. And when you read Genesis 50, Joseph realized who he is, and he lived out his destined self. There's a created self, and there's a destined self. And most people do not live up to their destined self. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to activate you. We're going to crack the shell. And it's so comfortable within the egg, you know. You know, it's like, I don't want to go out and face the ugly world. I just like this. Sometimes it's just family. Sometimes it could be your profession. Sometimes it could be, you know, your spouse or your wealth. And I just don't want to go out. I don't want to crack this. Because I'm very comfortable, right? The idol that we worship, 2023, it's not Satan out there. It's the comfort. And so how do we crack this from create itself and become this destined self. How are you? Well, I'm fine. Thank you. Are you really fine? How are you? You. Are you really living you or living someone else's life? Because they said the Asian, because they're constantly competing and comparing, they don't really live out their full potential. Right? I'm like, wow, that's so messed up. I mean, Google has to do research and tell us what we're missing as certain ethnic groups in America. We're talking America. Now we're talking about Russia. We're not talking about some other country where they have absolutely no freedom. But we're talking about America. We can be and do whatever we want. And yet we are bogged down by our own culture, our own makeup, our, in a way, cultural DNA, sociological DNA demand. Do not stand out. Just work with the team, right? Wow, come on. Let's break that. Because Genesis chapter 1 says, God created Adam and Eve, the original man and woman. You know, he created birds and animals and hippos and elephants and alligator. And God said every day, he said, it was good. It was good. But the day that God created Adam and Eve, God said it was very good. The word very in Hebrew means vehemently. I'm like, wow. Can you tell your neighbor, you are vehemently good? Tell that to your neighbor. You are terrifyingly good. You're not just good. You are terrifyingly good. Like, oh my goodness. Don't stop there. You're just terrifying. No, don't stop there. You're terrifyingly good. All right? That's what God says. God says, you're exceptional. You're going to rule over the world. You're going to rule over elephants. And you're going to rule over the air. You're going to rule, or you're going to conquer air. You're going to conquer. You are created in my image. You are like me. You should create. Last Saturday, I was at London, and I didn't have to go to London, but I told Jenny, I have to go to London, honey, because I have to watch Les Miserables again. And she said, Bob, come on. How many times? I said, just 18 times. Right? How many of you actually watch Les Miserables musical? Raise your hand. Oh, there are two kinds of people in the world. One who watched Les Miserables and one who didn't. Well, they're coming to Pantages in October. So, yeah, sign up, please. So, I went there 19th time this time, and I got so excited. And when I was younger, I started watching that in my 40s and 50s. Now I'm in 60s, you know. In my 30s, I know where I'm going to cry. You know, it's just two spots, you know. I had a dream, send him home, I'm like, right? So. But now, as the curtain went up, I start crying. And there was a Chinese tourist next to me, like, It's like, who is this crazy guy? Like, curtains up, I'm crying, I'm weeping. I'm like, till the end. When Jean Valjean says, to love someone is to see the face of God. Wow. Wow. Right? That's, if you just know who you are created in God's image. You got all this potential to be creative and conquer, and yet something stops you from being you. Because you see yourself and you see a grasshopper. Grasshopper. See, Abraham was a 75-year-old man, old, and pretty much my life is done. And God comes in a vision and said, I will make you a great nation, great name, and a great blessing. And he believed. A man who died with a couple kids believed that he was a great nation. And he became so. And then his sons, of course, over and over again. And yet, it comes to a point now that they face these just big human beings, and they say, we're like grasshopper. We don't know who we are. We still don't know who we are. Right? And when we confront issues and problems like, I don't know if I could do that. Who told you that? Who told you that you cannot be that the one that you dreamed of? Right? Listen to this quote. I just love this quote. It says, the worst loneliness is to not be comfortable with yourself. Wow. And when I read that, I'm like, yeah, I need to share this quote of Mark Twain with Catalyst people. Mark Twain said, the worst loneliness is to not be comfortable with yourself. You know why you're not comfortable with yourself? Because there is created self and destined self. And you're not walking toward to become the destined self. You sell out and said, I'm comfortable. This is who I'm going to be. Because the world says, well, you're that. Or you make that much money? Or you have what house and where? And you drive what kind of car? Oh, you must be happy, right? How are you? I'm fine. But how are you? You. How did God make you? Are you living that dream? Are you going toward the destined self? Or just sell out? See, before we sell out to the world, we should be sold out to Christ. Amen? And when we sold out to Christ, man, I don't care what people say, what the world says, that you're stupid, you're doing that. I'm like, I don't care. That's what I need to do. And that's what I will be doing. People say, well, you had this chance, you could make money, and you're so smart, why are you doing this? You know, it's just like my mom holding my hands when I was in high school. Oh, son, your hands are so soft, surgeon's hands, just like your dad. I'm like, Mom, please. That kind of psychology, I'm way beyond that, Mom. Come on. You know. Oh, your hand is so soft. You should be a surgeon like your dad. I said, Mom, I have a calling. I want to serve God full time. I want to serve God full time. That's all I want to do. Right? And we didn't know where the road, taking road, they said the road divided. Usually Jen and I face road of 10 different directions. It's not like, is it this or that? No, it's like, wow, Lord, we're lost. What do we do now, Lord? And over again, last 39 years, Lord, let us, guide us. And we are now wanting to see our destined life fulfilled. Amen? Don't sell out, kids. If this is a time that you go and be a mission, don't act like missionary. Just be the one that said, Lord, speak to me. Don't speak to me, because through this experience, God's going to start speaking, and you're going to understand. And, you know, and as I was finishing my doctorate, one morning, COVID started happening, and I said, Lord, well, since I cannot travel, I cannot preach, I cannot go anywhere. And I remember turning that first year of COVID, and we spent time, long time in Cambodia, nothing to do. Nothing to do in Cambodia. And they shut down, and they shut down the really brutal way. I mean, they actually issued an official cane, a huge stick from the government to all the police. And what they did was, when someone was found with COVID, they will mark up the entire city. They cannot come out. People literally went hungry and starved, because they would not, and then they would wait outside the stick. If they come out, they beat you legally, right? And so we're like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And I remember every morning I said, well, Lord, if I cannot travel, I cannot preach, I cannot ministry, what do you want me to do? And Lord reminded me how my 9 years of PhD, and it was a wonderful run, and I did my thesis, and it was great. But more than just doing my research, I read a book, or found a book, or I met a philosopher named Martin Buber. His book, I and Thou. Wow, changed my life. I remember just start reading, and I said, wow, you know, I really need to write a book on Martin Buber. So I did. Dr. Babo's Philosophy and Poetry and Martin Buber. Wow, that's crazy, right? Who does that, right? There are two kinds of people in the world. And in this book, I read a certain section, and I remember reading it for the first time at Oxford. Jenny was gone and I was all alone. Second story, City of Barton. I was reading that. You could read so much socio-anthropology books, you know, and you could write so much every day. It was just kind of insane, you know. I had a major crisis. I mean, and so I was reading this. It says, Martin Buber wrote, "What is self-contradiction if a man does not represent the a priori of relation in his living with the world? If he does not work out and realize the inborn thou on that meets it, then it strikes inwards. It develops on the unnatural, impossible object of the eye. That is, it develops where there is no place at all for it to develop." And when I read that paragraph, I remember just weeping before the Lord, right? I don't see any teary eyes after I read it, so let me explain. What he's saying is, a priori is the destined self. God destined you to be something great. And the moment you are satisfied with false self that you created, like on your Facebook or Instagram, then instead, that being your identity, that identity start turn around and start fight against you and start destroying you. You know why suicide rate is skyrocketing these days, especially after COVID-19? Because they live in this virtual reality, augmented reality, and they don't like what they see in reality. And so that false self start destroying. And wow, talk about issues. Talk about not knowing who we are and start constantly competing, start constantly comparing. And so we're not happy with ourselves. We're like a grasshopper. When God said from Abraham, "You are a great nation, great name, great blessing." And we said, "No, but the situation that I'm in, I'm just a grasshopper, Lord." I remember one morning, you know, in Cambodia, Phnom Penh, in my house, and Jenny was sleeping in the other room, and you know, I'm in my room, and she cannot sleep without air condition. I die with air condition is on, so I crawl out of my bed, all frozen. You know, and I have to thaw myself in the other room without air condition, and usually spend 2, 3, 4 hours just studying the Bible and reading and writing, and I remember reading Martin Buber again, and I wrote this poem. You know, something happened in our intercession right before service, and we had our lovely sister intercede in Spanish, and wow, something broke loose. There was something was activated. I'm like, you know, I was going to just read you the English translation of my poetry, but I'm going to read Korean, if you don't mind. Is it okay? Yeah. There are two kinds of people in the world. Okay, I better stop. Okay, stop. Stop up. In Korean, 어리석음, 당신. 당신은 보셨나요? 나의 자아, 그 못난 놈이 완전히 소멸되던 날. 그 순간 나는 없어진다 절망하며 사라진다 착각하며 마지막 힘다해 당신께 주먹 휘려던 날. 나의 삶, 불과 같이 다 타버리며 괴로워하던 날. 마지막 불길이 나를 삼킬 때 물가 위에 비춰진 나의 모습. 아, 나는 횃불이었던 것을, 당신은 신실했던 것을, 번쩍 일어나 그것이 꿈이었던 것을 천만 번 당신께 감사드리던 날, 당신은 보셨나요? 횃불의 어리석음을. Wow. Is that amazing? Just amazing by myself. Okay. So I just sitting there translated for you. Foolish one. Have you seen, O thou, the day I, the foolish one, complained and finished? Yelling, screaming to you, in despair of burning up, being done, in agony of seeing my life just burned up to ashes. As the final fire engulfed me, so my image on the water. Ah, I was created by you as a torch. You have been faithful, suddenly awakened from my dream, and gave you 100,000 prayer of thanksgiving that it was only a dream. Lord, have you seen such foolishness of a torch? In my poetry, I imagine myself, God creating me as a torch, something that has destined to burn up. That's all you have to do, burn. And all my life, I'm complaining. Why am I burning? Right? It's hot. I don't want to burn, Lord. I don't want to burn. I want to be like that, used by people, like a toy. I want to be loved by, handled by, hugged by. And I want to be like that. I want to be like that dog. I would like to be like that. No, God made me a torch. Only destined self. Only thing I have to do is to burn. That's all I have to do. And yet when I finally dying, I saw over the water that I was a torch. I said, oh, foolish one. You lived your destiny without thanking God for whom God has made you. You know, the world will be terrified by your presence because you are created in God's image. Walk into that situation knowing that who you are. How are you? You are a child of God. Your image represented by God himself. You are created to be creative and face the audience and face the world and face the problem and say, I stand before you as a child of God. Amen? There will come a time, and I just want to be activate you on that. And I'm going to ask Pastor Jenny to come up and can I have some keyboardists? Because I really feel like, you know, even intercession today was activation. You know, let's really crack those shells. Our comfort, shell comfort, and oh, I will never do that. I can never be that. That's what God said when I was young, but no, I am too old. I'm not going to live that life. And you know, Jenny just began her doctoral study. Can you say, woo-hoo? And she's been saying that, no, not I'm not going to do any doctoral study, but she is. And she's going to live a destined self. And so why don't we come to the Lord in prayer? Father, we thank you. We want to be activated. We don't want to stand before the world and see ourselves as grasshoppers, God. We're too precious. You created us according to your image, Lord. Who are we to say who we are when you said otherwise? God, help us, Lord. Break the shell, Lord. We want the anointing to come, and especially these young people. Wow. Sacrifice they make to be out there. Lord God, I pray that you speak to them and raise them up to be the generals of their generation, Lord. They will not fit the mold of Google study of Asian Americans. The story will be rewritten by them, Lord, their generation. It's not cultural issue. It's God issue. We do not belong to a culture. We belong to you. Holy Spirit, break that, Lord. Set us free, oh God. Hallelujah.
I guess I have to thank God for being destined to be Bob's wife. But why don't we actually come to the Lord and just, I think it is a convicting time from the Lord. And so why don't we really ask God to reveal to us if we are in the state of confusion or if we are unsure of who we are. In silence, why don't we just ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. Clearly, Lord, we are your child, and you make it clear in the Bible what our identity is. But Father, in our situation, in this moment, will you speak to us that we may know with our heart who we are? Speak to us, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. What are those things in your life that are false, that have been condemning and attacking the true self? The lies and things that is, we've just let it happen without asserting and confronting. Lord, reveal to us what those things are. Lord, this is a moment where we are able to rip away from the bondage of the false things in our lives. So in the name of Jesus, we command the spirit of oppression, lies, deception, depression, condemnation, fear, mistrust, doubt, unbelief. We command all those things in our minds, in our soul, in our spirit to get out. Get out of my who we are. We command you to leave and go straight to the feet of Jesus.
Yes, yes, Lord God. Hallelujah.
You have no rights over who we are. There's some things that have been said over us, like Pastor O said, in our young age, even before we were able to bloom into full adulthood, there's been things that maybe our parents, our friends, or brothers, sisters, or whoever in school have said those things about us that we still in back of our minds that tries to make us into limits us. Those things, those judgments. So in the name of Jesus, we command those inner vows that we set about ourselves, and we allow other people to attack us in those areas. We command that it is not true. We are made in the image of God.
Yes, Lord God.
So we command all those things to get out of our minds and our bodies and our soul. We command it to get out and go straight to the feet of Jesus. You have no rights over us. We are not part of a crowd. We are individual that God had created wonderfully and fearfully.
Yes, Lord God. Hallelujah.
And in us, He gave us all the power, and He said, "It is good." Thank you, Father. We are loved by you and we love you. Set us free, prune us, that we may be like a well-watered garden, flourishing, producing, like a fruitful vine, living life to the fullest. We pray for your blessing over us. Holy Spirit, You said, seek, ask, and knock, that we will be able to receive, that you will give us the Holy Spirit. So we want this gift for our lives, Lord. Every single one of us, we want to have mansion in the sky to live our life to the fullest. You have created us and destined us. So, Father, we thank you for this day that we may come before you and say yes to you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
So, Father, we lift all these brothers and sisters desiring and yearning and wanting, Father, to just live a wonderful life that you have destined us to be. Especially young people, as they leave, God, send guardian angels, protection, provision, and they'll come back to us as mighty warriors,
yes,
ready
Lord.
To conquer, and testimonies that beyond our imagination. So we exalt you, Lord. We give you glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give God a big hand, shall we? Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'll be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.